And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to another edition of our Home Improvement Show. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd love to help you out. Andy Lindis is back, of course, answering those questions. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. And Andy, good morning. Good to have you back here. How was your week?
You know, it was a great week. How was your week?
Yeah, pretty good. We're getting some good moisture here, at least in the Twin Cities area, in our particular neighborhood, nicely greening things up. But the weather, for the most part, I think, at least in this past week, was pretty good for not only your customers, but the Lindis crews as well.
Yeah, we're getting a lot done, a little bit of rain, but it seemed like it held off till like afternoon, evening. So most of the days we were able to have full days, and luckily most of the hail that came through was pretty small, so it didn't do any damage to anything because, you know, I am a roofer and I love to sell people roofs, but I really never, ever hope to, if we never get hit with a hailstorm again, I'll be a happy camper.
You know, one of the questions we get from time to time for years now, as far as roofing goes, some people looking, you know, and I understand budget questions, budget concerns, and you get asked, Lindis gets asked, can I ever just put new shingles over old shingles? And I guess you could, but what's your, of course, I know what you'd prefer. And why would you prefer not?
I think my father years ago, or maybe it was you, Denny, one of you two, said you never would paint a rusty car. And I think putting shingles over the top of other shingles is really close to like painting a rusty piece of metal. You really aren't going to, it's not a long-term thing. You have no idea what is going on underneath those shingles. You have no idea what type of underlayment was used, what ice and water was used, how much rotten deck that there is. On average, we go through 4.5 pieces of plywood or sheeting per roof job. So that's, you know, a 4 foot by 8 foot sheet of plywood. 4 of those on average are getting replaced on roofs because of rotten wood underneath it. When in vents, where the plumbing jacks are, valley areas, you know, especially if your roof is 15, 20, 25, 30 years old, the codes and the underlayments weren't the same as they are now. So, if you know, price it up both ways. You'd be surprised how much is, it's not a crazy amount of more money to do it the right way. Now, if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you're looking for a temporary fix, you know, you're going to have a couple of buddies come over for the weekend and reshingle over the top of shingles, at least put down proper underlayment over the top. You know, just get a synthetic underlayment that goes over the top of the shingles and then put that down. But for me, I don't think I would ever do that on my own home or any of my friends and family's homes. It's just not what I would recommend. And we don't allow it to happen to customers' houses. If that's the roof you want, you're going to have to find a different roofer than Lindis Construction.
And Andy, I recall you telling us various shows that when you were getting on, and I know you still can get on top of on the roofs, but when you were walking through one roof, didn't your foot end up going right through the decking?
Yeah, I've fell through decking on a few occasions. I've also, while inspecting a roof, where a previous roofer just decided to roof over a open hole, so it's just shingles there. And I stepped on the shingles into an open hole and also went through the roof. Luckily, I didn't like go through the sheetrock or anything like that. It was a temporary fall. I didn't fall off the roof. I've never been injured because of that. Oof. I did one time get third-degree burns along my shin. And back in my younger days, I wore shorts in the summertime occasionally while giving people estimates. And I was inspecting a roof, those old CertainTeed organic shingles that would basically crumble and fall apart. So it was really, really hard to walk on. And I had a shingle give out from underneath me and I slid all the way down the roof. That's one time I was thankful the customer didn't have leaf guard gutters because it was the open gutter that saved me from going over the top. I still had a burn there. And still to this day, if I wear shorts, I get sunburned, but I've been lucky, whether it's old roofer's problems, old roof problems. I've had a couple of near misses, but never severely injured. And I thank my lucky stars for that. But something to keep in mind, too, if you're not used to getting up on a roof, you haven't done it, And, you know, we see a lot of hand-me-down ladders. They're like, this is my grandpa's ladder. Be careful. Don't try to do repair if you feel uncomfortable that you're, you know, the human has a way of telling you what you should and shouldn't do. Listen to our brains. If you feel scared, uncomfortable, maybe get a professional involved.
Yeah, always good advice. A listener heard us talking about roofing and wondering, and I'm not sure why the question, but does Lindus still use, they heard us talking about this a long time ago, does Lindus still use drones to look at roofing?
We will, and we really get them involved if a hailstorm happens. We're able to look at about 10 times the amount of roofs with the drone team as we are with the human team, just from the ease of inspection and from a safety standpoint. Plus, our drone has the technology to automatically pick out hail damage and make a report. So it's it makes it a very easy thing. There's some costs that go with it, but when you're trying to inspect hundreds and hundreds of roofs, it's a no-brainer for us to get the drone team involved.
How I'm thinking about the being a photographer in those old days of mine. What about the quality of? How fine of an image can these drones pick out? I would imagine tremendous.
Read the date. I'd be able to read the date on a quarter if it was on the roof. Yeah, it's pretty good technology, and it's only getting better.
Wow. If you have a question for Andy, by all means, 651-461-9226. There's another text. All other things being equal, how much does 9-foot ceilings add to the cost of a new home? Any idea about that?
You know, it's definitely going to add to the cost because it's going to add to the materials. If I had to guess, I would say maybe $5 to $10 a square foot. Somewhere in there, depending on the finishings that you go to. The finishings is what, and the detail work after the framing is what really adds to the cost of new construction. And, you know, you can go bonkers with lighting and plumbing fixtures and all of the flooring and the cabinets and stuff. That seems to be where houses jump up that $100, $200, $300 a square foot. It's usually on the finishings and the details that are picked, not necessarily in the framing. I don't think it's going to add a ton, but whatever builder you're choosing, I'm sure they can tell you an exact figure on that plan. And if you're concerned about it, get a couple of different estimates with the plans and the architects and kind of go from there. But I would say in that $5 to $10 a square foot range.
When Lindus comes out to explore someone's request for, do I need new insulation? Are most people, again, it's budget, but are most people going for the foam installation?
Yeah, definitely. Two-thirds of the insulation jobs that we're doing have some type of spray foam involved. You know, it's an easy way. We get into a lot of attics that have no vapor barrier. So instead of having to pull everything out, add a vapor barrier, spray foam is really the only option there. And when you go through the pros and cons of spray foam, most people, if they can afford it, choose to go that route.
Okay. Now we're going to take a break here. Some folks, in fact, there's a couple of texts. They wanted you to talk about again, and we get a lot of interest in this, I can tell, about the Lindus maintenance program. When we come back after the break, maybe you can give us details on that. Some folks want to hear more about that here on this Saturday morning. Home Improvement Talk, you have any questions, by all means, call us or text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show. Andy Lindus, of course, from Lindus Construction, answering those questions. Andy, I like to mention once in a while, not only the spelling, we always like to do that for years, L-I-N-D-U-S. But if you have any interest in maybe getting insulation or maybe those great leaf guard gutters or roofing, whatever the case may be, that first visit from Lindus is always free. And you get all sorts of great information. Whatever service or maybe a job that you want to get done, you're going to have all this great information. But again, the first visit is always free. 844-9-LINDUS. Give them a call this coming week, 844-9-LINDUS. And before the break, Andy, again, a couple of folks have been asking me to ask you again to go over the maintenance program at Lindus. A lot of interest in this. Give us details, if you would.
Well, you're going to get a master craftsman that's going to come out to your house, and he's going to inspect everything on the exterior of your home. He's also going to take a look at all your smoke detectors, CO detectors, make sure not only are they working, but that you have enough of them in the right places around your home. We're going to inspect every piece of flashing, every chunk of caulking, and any of your other concerns. And we're going to tell you how long you can expect the materials on the exterior of your home to last and what type of maintenance should be done to them to get the full life out of them. It really is a very good deal for under a couple hundred dollars. You're going to get a guy to come out to your house that's going to spend anywhere from 90 minutes to 3 hours inspecting everything and giving you a very detailed report. And to boot, you're going to get an entire 3D model of your home that has the square footage, the linear footage of every part of the exterior of your home, every window size, every door size. So you can really do it's a nice feature. And what questions you need to be asking your insurance agent to make sure that you have the best coverage for your home.
Wow. A lot of interest in this. And again, if you are interested, give Lindus a call, 844-9-LIN-DUS. All right, bunch of text messages coming in. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, you can call Andy if you'd like to chat, or like some folks are doing, send a text, 651-461-9226. Siding question for Andy. Metal versus LP smart side, looking for durability and value. What are your thoughts?
Can't go wrong with either one of them. If I were you, I would get an estimate from somebody like us. If you're in the St. Cloud area, the Luckin Companies does a good job. If you're in the Duluth area, Grumdahl Construction does a good job. And all of those companies have the ability to give you an estimate both on LP smart side and steel siding. Those are all second-generation companies, been around for 40 years. There's a reason why all of us choose those two products as the sidings we offer customers. I really don't think you can go wrong. It really comes down to aesthetics when you're making that decision. They're cost similar. There's pros and cons with each one of them, but sit down with somebody, go over those details, and it'll help you make the best decision for your home.
You know, you and I talk and have for years, because this is how I met Lindus many years ago, almost 30 years ago, purchasing those LeafGuard gutters. Are people getting a clearer picture now of these gutter wannabes like LeafGuard? Are they they're seeing that LeafGuard really is the product? If you're going to have some kind of gutter protection, that's the one you want?
It is, and as we get into storm season, that's a really good point, because more and more roofers, as roofers go through years where big storms don't happen, they try to diversify and add products. Well, they can't add LeafGuard. So I have a few roofers that we've done all the LeafGuard for over the years that are now offering screens or some type of gizmo and trying to charge the exact same amount as LeafGuard. Or worse, they're taking the LeafGuard proceeds from the insurance claim and then using it to put on their roofing and a cheaper gutter guard. The homeowner thinks they're getting something similar, but there really isn't. We fill a dumpster a week up of screens and add-on devices that go over the top of your existing gutters. What people have to keep in mind is what most people charge to put something over the top of your existing gutters, we replace the entire system. And it is still to this day the only one-piece seamless leaf-shedding gutter system on the market. And it is the most durable gutter system ever built.
And I always have to add this, those downspouts are the best. I mean, what a difference. And talk about the amount of rain this system can handle. I mean, if you're in the market for a gutter, you got to get LeafGuard for sure. I was looking at another text here. This is something I've never heard. Maybe you have. Texter says this. What do you think of a soybean oil product that is sprayed on an older roof to expand the life of the shingles by keeping them more pliable?
You know, I don't like to talk poorly about anything. I'll just leave it at that. I've looked at it a few different occasions. I've tested it, and I do not offer it to my customers. So that's a nice way of saying don't do it.
Yeah. Well, you would know. I mean, after how many years doing this, a soybean product. All right. More texts are coming in. This texter says this. We had a new roof installed, by a reputable company, but they installed very wide flashing between the roofline and our stucco. The flashing is 24 to 30 inches wide, and I don't like how it looks. We're going to have to, oh, this jumped now. Where did it go? We're going to have our house restuccoed this spring. Can the flashing be replaced at this point? And who would do the work? Stucco people said we need the roofers to come back to take care of it. Talking about a $20,000 job, which is almost the cost of the new roof. Who should be doing this work is their question. Do we need to find another roofing company? Wow.
Yeah, it's typically done by a roofer, and it's just one of those things that I don't know why the stucco person wouldn't be capable of doing it. I'd have to look at it and why it was done as a 20-inch piece of, I can only think of it as the step flashing, not or it's a ringlet, or it's where a dormer meets. I would want to see some pictures. Andy@lindisco.com is my email. If they have any pictures they want to send my way, I'll take a look at it, but you might have to get another roofer involved if the stucco companies aren't capable of it. But any sider worth their salt is capable of putting on that type of sidewall flashing.
Oh, interesting. All right. Andy, hang on. We need to take a break for that forecast. We'll come back. We'll pick up on more questions. Any home improvement question, we have time for yours, as I said, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. We'll have a look at that forecast, then more show on the way. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show here every week. Thanks to Lindis Construction. You want to get in touch, 844-9-LINDIS. Have them come out to your house and answer any questions you may have about whatever project you may have in mind. In the meantime, our phone number is either for a text or for a phone call. Is 651-461-9226. Andy, a texter wants to know your opinion on the lifespan of cedar siding, and do you recommend changing it if it's old?
You know, it depends on, like, the problem with repairing cedar siding is aged cedar and new cedar usually shows up. So unless you're really good at staining and figuring and trying to match, it's a doable thing and it's a repairable thing. But if it's under disrepair, I don't know, I wouldn't probably choose it to replace the entire job. If I'm looking at new siding, I don't think I would use cedar. I would, especially knowing what it costs. There's no cost savings in using cedar versus an LP smart side versus a steel siding. Maybe get an estimate on all of those products or what it's going to cost to repair it and how many more years you're going to have to go before you have to repair it again. And that, once you have all that information, you should be able to make a better decision for your home. But it's not something we do. Every now and then we get talked into, some people just want natural wood or the look of natural wood and they're stuck on cedar, and we get talked into doing it. And, you know, when you first do the job of that first finishing, and then we always use Penifin, or actually Sickens was the product we've had best luck with, either on half log siding or cedar siding when we finish it, and it looks great. But just know that you're going to be refinishing it every, I don't know, 3 to 8 years, somewhere in there. And if you're okay with that, then yeah, by all means, go ahead and use cedar. For me, I put something on the exterior of my home, so all I want to do is spray it down with a hose every now and then. I don't want to have to refinish it. I don't want to get a paintbrush out. I don't want to have to go to the store and get different chemicals in order to make it look nice. I'd rather just spray it down with a hose and wash my house every now and then rather than painting or staining. It's just I'm not a fan of it. One, I'm terrible at it. I end up with just as much paint or stain on me as I do whatever I'm painting or staining. And it's just not so I'm a little jaded and biased there. But that's just that's how my head works, and that's where my mind goes. If I'm going to do something in the exterior of my home, I want it to be the last time I ever have to touch it.
Well, you and I and all these shows over the years have talked about LP as far as siding goes, and I know that I've told you privately that whenever I need some new siding, that's going to be the one. Talk a little bit about that. I guess what I like, not only the look, you can do all sorts of mix and match. You're not just stuck with one style. You got a whole lot of ideas, right?
Yeah, whether you want smooth or textured, you want to dab a wood grain or a solid finish, you want it to look like vertical board and batten, scallops or shakes, you name it. There's different sizes of reveals that you can use. Really, that you can run the gamut. It's not uncommon that we have four or five different types of profiles or types of siding that go on somebody's exterior of the home. You can really dress up a home when you mix and match and let people, you know, let the uniqueness come out. Let's make this house the talk of the neighborhood, especially knowing that it doesn't cost that much more or any more to choose the different styles. You just have to order it properly and make sure you have the right materials. And that's the nice thing. When you get an estimate from us, we're able to create a 3D model of your home. Same thing with our maintenance program. But when you get a siding estimate from us, this 3D model we put into the digital world, and we can change all the colors, all the styles of the siding. So you really get a good look at what your house was going to look like with before we even pound one nail. It really allows you to make the best decision you possibly can. Like when we're talking about our homes, Denny, the more information you can gather, the more patient you can be on the front end, the happier you're going to be with the project. This isn't something you should just jump into and make a knee-jerk decision. It should be a well-thought-out and a well-laid-out plan, and so you know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and who's going to be making it happen, and what's going to be installed. And I think the best way to do that is that digital 3D model that allows us to look at, this is what your house will look like this color. This is what your house will look like with this. If we added a window here or a door here, we can sit there for 2 hours and play with it if you like.
Oh, what a great tool that is. And why wouldn't you use it? 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Andy. What does Andy know about Northgate Climate Flex Shingles? Have you heard of that?
Nope. I know nothing about Northgate Climate Flex Shingles. I'll have to research it. I wonder if it's at that Canadian company. I'm not really familiar with it. All I know is that I'm guessing when manufacturers use the word flex, chances are that's it's going to be more of like a rubber shingle, which is going to be an impact-resistant shingle. And I want to look at the ratings and who did the actual testing of the shingle. When I'm offering people a class 4 rating on a shingle, I know the testing. And not only do I know the testing, I've inspected those roofs personally after a hailstorm. So I know what they can withstand and what they cannot withstand. And if you're getting a shingle offered from Linus Instruction, it's going to be able to withstand most hail. We've inspected hundreds of roofs now that we've installed that have had 1.5 to 2-inch hail and found little or no damage. And that's something I'm very proud of. And one thing that everyone should be proud of is Minneapolis is really a class 4 market, as the rest of the country is getting in line as well. Colorado, some other areas that have really been hit by storms, also class 4 impact resistant markets. And you're seeing all of the shingle manufacturers offering more and more of those options. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few years down the road, it really is the only type of shingle you can get.
I'm anticipating more text questions, maybe phone calls. Andy, what is a class 4 shingle?
That's a rating done by an independent rating service that is going to only give to shingles that can withstand a 2-inch hail. The highest impact resistance rating a roofing product can get, or any type of exterior product can get. And my experience is that's really the only way to go when it comes to roofing. And for us, we have 5 different types of class 4 shingles we can offer you now. And for years, we used to only have one option. Now, like GAF made most of their designer shingles, or all of their designer shingles are class 4 rated, or have a class. You have the ability to order a class 4 option with those shingles. And so if you're talking roofing, when you're getting your 3 estimates, make sure at least 2 of them are giving you an estimate on class 4 shingles. And you'd be surprised. I want to say, Denny, I pay, I don't know, under $20 a square to get the better shingle, the class 4 shingle, than I would for a regular shingle. So when you think of that cost and materials on a house, you're talking under $500 for most houses. Now, most deductibles are way more expensive than that. And more often than not, the insurance proceeds aren't going to cover the entire project and your deductible. So you're looking at, anytime you have an insurance claim, it could be anywhere from $3,000 out of pocket money. So it's okay to spend $500 or $1,000 or $1,500 more on the front end, knowing I'm not going to have to go through this again. Way too many people the last 15 years have gotten their third roof in 15 years. These shingles are supposed to last 50 years. That's 50 years. And that's what our warranty is. And that's how long they should last. It really is. When you put a roof on, it should be the last time you ever have to deal with your roof. Now, crazy huge hail comes through, softball size or baseball size hail. That's super hard. All bets are off. Yeah, I'm hoping we don't get any of those super storms anytime soon. But for the most part, the majority of the hail jobs that I've replaced have been hail that's that inch and a half to inch range. Class 4 shingles will survive that type of hail more often than not.
I'm looking at a text, Andy, that as the boss, you always love to hear stuff like this. This is unsolicited. But every time we get these, and we do get these quite often, this text says this. Good morning. I'm not able to listen today, so I'll listen to the podcast for sure. But I wanted to tell Andy that Kevin came to our house yesterday to look at our roof and other repairs in our house. He was so thorough, professional, and explained everything very well. We look forward to working with Lindis in the near future. That's got to make, that's got to put a big smile on your face, boss.
It does. And Kevin is a very detail-oriented fella. He does, we get lots of comments about him. We get lots of comments about all of our people. It's one of my favorite things to read every day is when I'm getting the review email, going through the review email and how many of my people get named, whether it's the people that were working on the house, the salespeople, the people that answer the phones at Lindis Construction. I'm real happy that I get to work with all of them, and they really do make my job easier each and every year. And that's the nice part about having a lot of technology behind our company. Technology that we have does all the busy work. So all of our people can focus in on the customer experience, and Kevin's no different. He really does take the time to make sure that he's answering everybody's questions and getting the customer what they need and want and putting them in a better spot. And sometimes that's, hey, you don't need to do anything. And I've gotten plenty of reviews from Kevin where he's inspected things and said, you know, you probably are okay holding off. It's a bummer that you spent 2 hours inspecting something. You have to tell the customer that. But that's how you get customers for life.
That's absolutely right. And like you've said, you don't have to make up work. Busy. And by the way, we mention this from time to time, but these days I think it's really good to point out that Lindis Construction is still family-owned. Nobody came in, I'm sure they'd love to, but then nobody came in with a bunch of investors saying, hey, we're going to buy you out. You are still family owned, right?
Yes, sir. And we always will be. We're not for sale. We will never be for sale. We're going to try to go to the third generation. Someone once told us that going from second generation to third generation is really, really hard. So we decided we wanted to try that. I have five nieces, a nephew, and two sons. We're hoping that one of them will step up to the plate sooner or later. But if not, we have lots of other people that can step into those roles. And, you know, Danny, I'm still a young man. I'm the oldest of three brothers, and I'm 47 years old. So I don't plan on retirement is a long ways off for me. So I plan on doing this for another 15, 20 years at least, and so do my brothers. And we're always going to be family-owned and operated, and I feel very lucky that I was being able to watch the investment companies come in and purchase friends' businesses and get to talk to those friends again and figure out how unhappy they are, how unhappy their employees are, and how unhappy their customers are. Corporate America, there's a reason why corporate America has never been painted as the good guy in a movie, because they seldom are. When you worry about numbers and profit, and that's the only thing you care about, then that's usually bad for the customer and bad for the employee. And for us, whatever we can do to make the employee experience better, we will. And whatever we can do to make the customer experience better, we will. We figure if we keep hitting those buttons, yep, I don't care how many billions of dollars are behind you, you're going to have a hard time competing with Lindis Construction.
Absolutely. It's all connected. Hang on, Andy. We're going to take a quick break. Be back on the other side. I know we have more text questions to get answered, and we could answer yours at 651-461-9226 from Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us. And we're back with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Andy, we have callers. We have texters. So let's put you back to work here. First up, Todd, calling in from Ramsey, I believe, this morning. Thanks, Todd. What is your question for Andy?
Thanks for taking the call. We have a whole house air exchanger, and it does a great job in the wintertime keeping moisture off the windows. But how should it be operated in the summertime?
You know, it's really going to be specific to the house. Is there a humidity level system on that air exchanger?
No.
You run a dehumidifier at all?
In the lowest portion of the house, in the lowest walkout level.
So have you had any issues running it in the summertime?
I'm sorry?
Have you had any issues running it in the summertime?
No, I haven't. I just wonder what it does in the summertime. What I understand how it helps in the winter, and the summertime setting on it makes it run very infrequently. Is that the only difference? It just exchanges the air less frequently in the summer?
Yeah, because you got to remember, our furnaces are running a lot more than most air conditioning units. And so do you run your air conditioning unit a lot? Do you have a forced air conditioning unit on the same system?
Yes. Do we run it a lot? We're very careful with it. I would say we run it pretty reasonably in the summer. Maybe we don't keep the house any cooler than 70.
Okay. Yeah. So one thing to keep in mind is, you know, the more that runs, the more that the air exchanger is probably going to run as well. So if you're, that's why I'm thinking there's a big difference. So put it on the summer setting and it should operate the way it should. The biggest worry is getting moist air into a cold surface, and that's going to happen more in the wintertime than it is the summertime. So I think just put it on the summer setting and you should be good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Speaking of calls, let's jump to another one. Jeff from Minnetonka has been hanging there. Jeff, thank you. What is your question, please?
Well, I have a question for Andy. We have a roof that's about 15 years old, and I just noticed in the last year or two that a lot of grit has been coming off of it. And I was wondering, I've seen some advertisements for these companies that come around and spray the roof. Does Andy know anything that's effective, if it's a good idea, or does he know anything about it?
You know, most of those are like what we talked about earlier in the show, the soybean oil product. And I keep testing it and trying it. Outside of cleaning the roof, if you have an algae problem, that's the only thing I would spray on the roof. There's some nanotech that seems promising. I haven't tested it enough to really have a good opinion of it. They're a Canadian company, and supposedly that's going to increase the lifespan of the roof. The reason why I haven't offered it yet is because it takes away from the GAF warranty. And I don't care if you get a new warranty from the spray company. I just trust GAF to stand behind their warranties more than any other manufacturer I've dealt with. So I really am careful about doing anything that can take away from that warranty. It's not going to help with granule loss. If you're having major granule loss, and this is why where insurance adjusters really need to step up at times, just because you can't see the impacts of some of these smaller, you know, hails, that the granule loss is what keeps your roof away from the sun. The sun is what brings down the lifespan of a 50-year shingle to maybe only 15, 20 years. The nice part about Linus Instruction is if you want us to inspect it, it's a free service, and we can let you know exactly what to do. But here's how most of the spray companies have been pitched to me as why I should offer them to my customers. Because it's double the profit margin of replacing a roof. That's usually the first thing that these companies try to talk to me about. You know, if you offer your customers, you're charging this much. It actually has a margin of 50% instead of 25%. I know it's a smaller project. It only costs $4,000. Well, I'd rather not charge the customer $4,000 and put a roof on that doesn't need to be sprayed with some fugazi of a chemical in order to make it last as long as it should. So it's not something I have chosen to give, to let my salespeople offer to customers or to advertise in any way. Now, cleaning a roof for algae or mildew, that's a different story entirely. And we use a soft wash solution with bleach in order to make that happen. And if you're hiring us to do that, as we do repair roofs, we do restore roofs, we're going to talk to you about adding a zinc strip somewhere on the roof, Sonia, like on the north slope, the shady side of the roof, to make sure that that algae and mildew does not show up again. Otherwise, once it shows up, it seems like it's every year or every other year type thing where you're going to have to clean that roof. And again, when people get desperate, we start to do desperate things. There's not as many hail jobs the last couple of years. Insurance companies are being a little bit tighter on how they adjust roofs or what their actual claims are going to pay out. Where before that, you know, it made sense. Like a roofer could actually make some money if he was doing it just for insurance proceeds. It's not the case anymore. So they look for different things to add in order to get the profits to where they want them to be. And that's just not how I operate. If I found a good chemical that would take a 20-year-old roof and restore it to being a brand-new roof again, I would offer it. Heck, if I could find a $5,000 solution for my customers instead of a $30,000 solution, I would do cartwheels to be the first person to sign up for it. But I just haven't. Anything I've tested so far is not, doesn't live up to the billing and the advertisement. And I know I hope I don't upset any of my friends that have tried this or that are listening. You know, but I'm telling you, it's just not something I am comfortable offering to Lindus Construction customers, because for me, when I deal with a customer, it's somebody I want to have for life. I want them to recommend every one of their families and friends to us, because that's how we get by. We only, you know, we have one of the smallest marketing budgets of any company my size. It's like 1.5% of revenue gets spent on marketing. And a lot of these companies are spending 15-20% of revenue on marketing. When you spend that much money on marketing, you're going to have to look for higher profit margins. And that's what I think most of the chemicals that you spray on roof are. It's just really, yeah, it's a sales strategy more so than a science strategy.
Andy, we've got about a minute and a half to go, and I don't want to leave this question out. In fact, I'm going to save these texts that we did not get to, and we'll talk about them on the next week's show. Mary in White Bear Lake, or White Bear, I should say, sent this. Has a 7-year-old roof, which I just noticed has green, maybe moss, growing on part of the Northwest Peak area. If this is a concern, how do I have it removed without damaging the roof, and how do I prevent it from coming back? A couple of quick questions.
Yes, just what we talked about. You're going to want to have it soft washed with the bleach solution. And then in order to make sure it doesn't come back, you're going to have to install a zinc strip at the top of the roof. My guess is it was a lesser shingle put on there that doesn't have the LG chemicals in it. Ours are infused with copper to make sure mildew or LG or moss does not grow on them. And be very, very careful. Moss on roofs are very slippery. You step on moss, it's going to give out, and I've seen plenty of people go down because of that. It's just something you want to be very careful about.
One more question. Someone wants LeafGuard, and I guess they're asking, let me look here, how soon could they get LeafGuard Lindus to get the LeafGuard gutters on their house? How backed up are you for that?
Not very backed up at all. You know, we have the largest group of LeafGuard installers in the country. I want to say we're 3 to 4 weeks out. If it's an emergency, we can work with that as well and get somebody out even sooner. Chances are, if you were to call our office, we'd call you back on Monday and be able to set up an estimate this week, depending on where you are and what time you have available to meet, so we can come out and give you that free estimate.
Excellent. 844-9-LINDUS, whatever your project in mind, give them a call this coming week. You will not regret it. Andy, thanks so much for the help. Let's do this again next week. In the meantime, stay safe out there, and we'll talk Saturday.
Sounds great. Thank you, Denny.
Thank you. Andy Lindus from Lindus Construction. Yeah, give him a call. 844-9-LINDUS. We're going to have a few showers yet today, probably overnight and chance tomorrow, but Monday will be the real rainy day, maybe even some thunderstorms as well. Denny Long, thanking you for your company today. Thanks for listening. Always great to have you around. Thank you, producer Ryan Perpich. I know you and I will connect next week. But in the meantime, enjoy the weather, as damp as it is. Right now on CCO, 49 degrees.